Good evening, SEAL citizens and Twitch viewers. This is the SEALs Clubhouse Fish Fry Radio Show. And what year is it, Spite?
It is 2016, baby.
Coming at you in 2016 in HD, in Technicolor, in widescreen, in Cinerama. This is the Fish Fry Radio Show. Tonight's special guest is going to be a very interesting player you may have seen around the chat box. Cat Master will be joining us tonight.
I also have Cat Master.
I am, of course, Glitch. With me here, Spite Check, and the venerable Kiss a Pig is joining us in the wings as well to interject occasionally, as he does so excellently.
Only occasionally, though. Alas.
And with that, we will get it off and get it off the ground and into the air, like so many SpaceX rockets. And, off
okay.
To your Spite.
Besides Glitch talking about getting off, I just want to remind everyone to please sign up for the Fish Fry Tournament happening in a half hour. If you haven't checked it out yet, sealsclubhouse.com.
If you created your Seals account last year, you do have one free search on sealsclubhouse.com. You can look up someone's stats, but you can always look up your own stats for free. Just go to sealsclubhouse.com and register.
That is the truth.
So we will see you in the tournament in 30 minutes, but for now we are going to hand it off to Spite, who I just stole it back from.
Thief, you thief. No, I'm excited about talking to Cat Master. And actually, I've had that song. It's ever since I knew I was going to be talking to you this evening, I've had that song. Master, obey your... Anyway, so yeah.
What?
I always have this, like, come on, you guys. I always have this internal dialogue.
That's going to be my new theme song, I think.
No, it's like, I think I call it my internal soundtrack. So throughout my day, as I encounter different things or I think of different things, there's always a song that I associate with it. So for talking to Cat Master this evening, that was the... that was the soundtrack for that. There are other better soundtracks, I'm sure, because that's kind of a silly song.
That's great. You don't even need an iPod or anything.
Well, it is kind of irritating because I also sort of troll myself. You know, I troll myself with bad music too. Sometimes it's some bullshit like Sound of Music crap that I'm like, oh God, and I have to actually put on music or something like that.
Oh, that's the worst. Yeah, when you get a song stuck in your head, listen to other music to get rid of it.
Exactly. That is totally me. I troll myself. But so yeah, I don't know if you caught the show last week, but we were talking about surviving, and we were talking about, you know, being stranded on Mars because of the movie The Martian and shit like that. And I thought, especially some of the conversations we've had in chat, I thought, you know, I bet Cat Master is ready for the zombie apocalypse. Somehow I've labeled you that in my mind, like, he'll survive. Do you think you're ready for the zombie apocalypse? It could happen.
Well, I definitely have a lot of weapons and stuff like that. I mean, I gotta, you know, as you know, I have a few guns and all that, but I don't know about food and stuff. That's the problem. I always think about that. I probably should keep a store somewhere. Yeah, zombie apocalypse. I don't know about.
Do you believe in a zombie apocalypse? Because I think that's a little far fetched.
Okay, I guess.
Well, you never know. Anything could happen.
No. I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure that's impossible. I embrace the phrase "anything could happen." That's impossible.
Okay,
maybe not zombies.
Let me clarify. When I say "are you ready for the zombie apocalypse?", what I'm really saying is, are you prepared for like that really weird thing that
the
might happen?
End of the world as we know it. Yeah.
Yeah. So
there's one for your internal soundtrack.
No, but like, you know, Cat Master, you live in earthquake territory. When the big earthquake happened in 1989, I was living in Monterey at that time. Yeah. And it was fucking crazy. And so, I mean, just having the earthquake happen, all the stores were completely out of like candles and water and, you know, all that stuff. So,
never had anything like that happen since I lived here.
Well, it's you've been incredibly lucky, and I'm a little bit disappointed in you. Everyone
has no idea how dangerous of a place he's living in. You're all like fearing him now. I gotta get the hell out of here.
Just seriously. 3 days, just 3 days of basics, you know, 3 days of food and water. You're fine. You know, like you're in an area that's populated enough. It'll get its shit together. No one's going to starve or go without water, but it's going to be if there's a big earthquake that makes it so you can't make phone calls and you can't, like, cause that's during that time, you know, no one could make phone calls and tell anyone that they were okay. And no one could buy any water or anything, and electricity was affected. And so then your fridge is like, oh God, I got to start eating things out of my freezer, but I can't cook anything. And, you know, I mean, just having like little things and being prepared, I think just for 3 days minimum, come on, man.
Yeah. Three days is no problem. I mean, that would be nothing. We actually had a power outage not too long ago where I had to wait. It was like 2 days without power. That kind of sucked, but I actually took a battery out of my other car, like wired up some lights in my house and like charged my phone with it.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, I'm resourceful, I guess. But any more than 3 days, though, I mean, if it was like weeks or months or something like that, it would be an issue. But 3 days, 3 days would be nothing. And, I got stuff like, you know, I have a two-way radio and all that for communication and all that kind of stuff.
You're redeeming yourself a little bit now. I'm like, okay, he could figure some shit out if he needed to.
He's a very resourceful person because, as I understand, you're pretty new to poker, right?
Actually, I just started in June. I think when I registered, Seals was the first place. I've maybe played like, you know, with friends once or twice throughout my whole life, and then
you've been playing like half a year, and I mean, nobody would guess that.
Yeah, I took a break for a few months too. I don't know. It just kind of. Like I'm still a noob to it, you know, but at first I was like doing really good and I was like crushing tournaments. I was like, wow, this is really easy. But it turned out to be beginner's luck, I guess, because after that I had like a huge downswing, and at the time too I had a lot of crypto, like I had a lot of Bitcoin and stuff like that. So I was just depositing and like donking it all off like a retard. And now I came back. I started with a very small amount. I've been playing tourneys. I'm getting more serious and stuff like that. And I've been doing better. I'm actually cashing tourneys on the regular now. You know, small ones, stuff like that. Not like not like huge ones, but I regularly, you know, cash tourneys, so that's good. But I'm still a total noob because, you know, I don't know a lot of the lingo, you know, all that kind of stuff. Plus, you know, people on here have been playing poker for years, so barely, you know, a couple months watch.
Just because they've been playing poker for years doesn't mean they're better than you.
Yeah, that's true. I've noticed that. But
well, it's not just that. I mean, talking about swings, right? Like variance and swings. Just because you may have found, you know, a niche, like if you're trying to learn and grow as a player, I would imagine that with that comes, you know, like good times, bad times, you know, runs of luck, going up and down, whatever. But as you're learning, whenever I'm learning something new or whenever I'm learning something different that, you know, like trying out these new games, I expect to be losing money when I'm playing something new. And, you know, the only time that I seem to win with something new is when I don't know what the fuck I'm doing anyway, like with the 12 game. So yeah. I don't know.
Actually, got first in the horse tourney like 2 days ago or something like that. I never played that before. I barely played any of the games that were on there. It's kind of weird.
Oh, nice.
It was just good horse luck again, I guess.
Horse is rad. The best part about horse is that no one seems to understand the Raz portion. Like, yeah. I always clean up in the Raz portion of horse because I think people just don't, they just can't get behind, you know, like the idea of a terrible hand being the one that you want to go for. I don't know. There's something fundamentally against our training as poker players that we want terrible cards. And so like fighting for the most terriblest card is the part that seems to really trip people up with horse. That's been my experience anyway.
Yeah. Rads is the one you have to get a low hand, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was looking him up all online as I was playing the tournament.
And, I know, like, yeah, seriously. It's, I like those mixed games though. It really keeps you on your toes. And, I wanna do more mixed game stuff. I need to break out a little bit. I've been in a rut with OFC because I love it so much. But I promise I will be branching out a bit.
Yeah, OFC is a lot of fun. I actually just started playing that recently, too, like in this last month.
Yeah.
And I'm not great at it, but for a while there, I was doing really good. And then, of course, you know, have a downswing now. For some reason, I can't even seem to make, like, you know, the rows and all that.
Yeah.
But luckily, I've been playing at, the micro table, so it's not a big deal if I lose or whatever. It's just good. Good practice, but it's definitely a fun game.
I think it's good whether you're playing at a micro table or not, pretending that you're playing at a micro table, even if you're playing big stakes, like you've got to take those risks to get to Fantasyland, in my mind anyway.
Yeah.
And so if I'm sitting at a higher stakes table, I just, in my mind, I put a decimal, you know, to the left one space. So I'm not sitting at a, you know, at a five chip table. I'm sitting at a 50 or, you know, like 0.5 table, or I'm not sitting at a one chip table. I'm sitting at a 0.01 table. Mentally, it helps me to think about like not worry. Like you just can't worry. You've got to always go for it. I hope. God, yeah. I don't know.
So I've been doing that. I started out doing that, and you know, always risking it, trying to get aces or kings on top or queens, depending on where you are. Usually the micro tables kings, but yeah, it's like, and then after that, like I said, I've been a downswing. So now I've been trying to play more like conservative and make sure I don't foul.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. It's a cool game. I like the concept. I mean, like that's a lot of fun. You know, it's a good change from regular, hold'em.
Yeah.
Or Omaha, actually, which I just started playing today during the Overkill.
Nice, you know, nice.
And I haven't really played that before. It's pretty fun, too. I like how you get four cards, a lot of chances for bigger hands and stuff like that, you know, because instead of just like pairs all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it gives many people shoving.
Yeah. Well, pot limit, right? So,
yeah.
Like, take away people's ability to shove, and boy, that's a game changer.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can still make really big bets, you know, depending on what the pot's at, but it's, I don't know, I go in a regular hold'em, and, you know, everyone's just, as soon as they get, like, ace-king or whatever, they just shove, and it's, gosh, you know, just, I don't know, I don't really shove unless I'm, like, you know, way down on my blinds, like, if I'm about to be blinded out.
Cash game?
I don't really play cash games, actually, I only play tourneys, except for OFC.
Well, in a tourney, ace-king is, like, the nuts, though, so, you know... You should be expecting people. If he's got like a short stack, like if he's sitting on 30 big blinds, then it would be very strange to see him open shove ace king. But it'd be very strange to see him open shove any hand. But yeah, ace king is a strong starting hand. It's 50-50 against queens, you know.
Right. I know that, but
it's 51-49.
Well, close enough.
It is very close.
Such semantic, very technical.
No, I mean, well, it is technically, like, but you're not going to see that work for you in the long run unless you're playing 10,000 hands of poker. I'm just saying. Some people talk about how they have played, you know, 10,000 hands or 100,000 hands of poker, and those must be people that are, you know, they've been playing since they were 6 years old, and they played 12 tables at a time, and I don't even know how you get that many hands of poker in your lifetime, but there are people who totally do. It's impressive.
Yeah. Seems like a lot. Yeah. I couldn't even estimate how many I've done so far, but probably not nearly as many as most people.
Yeah. Obviously if you just started like 6 months ago, I had no idea you're such a noob.
Well, you got to start somewhere, you know?
I know, that's what I was saying. Yeah, he's better at poker than you'd expect a noob to be, so it just throws you off. But I saw you say that the other day, so I thought it was really interesting. And it's one of the obligatory questions, it seems, we ask all of our guests, is what brought you to poker?
Yeah.
So that was cool.
I was just reading about it online one time. I don't know, was it Reddit or something like that? I was just reading. And I don't know, it sounded interesting, and I always like making money. Actually, before this, I mean, I still do it a little bit, but I used to do margin trading for cryptos, altcoins and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically gambling, you know. And
totally,
it's, you know, it's educated gambling. You have to, you know, research stuff, and you got to read the charts and learn and blah blah. And you know, but you could still you gamble or you trade with leverage, and so you know, you could lose a lot more money. You get like 2.5 times, and you could lose your money 2.5 times faster, or gain it 2.5 times faster. So I don't know. I always like, you know, fast money kind of thing seems like a good idea to me, even though it's probably not. But I don't know. As soon as I started playing poker, it just seemed like a really fun thing to do. I mean, it's great. You get a lot of thinking involved in strategy and learning. You know, I'm still learning to this day. I still don't know anything, I'm sure.
That's really interesting, being a trader of different kind of altcoins. Maybe you could help me understand why all this Dogecoin I have is worthless. because it seems so promising, and I love
I think a better question would be why it had a value in the first place.
It had huge community support. That was pretty much the only thing. Not only that, but also people use it when Bitcoin would go down. People would buy Dogecoin.
Yeah, and then, that's still happening. It uses a hedge.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. And
another really strange thing about Doge is that I know that there was a site or two that sold Doge for PayPal, and it was reliable. I don't know. I heard a lot of people use it and talk about it. I never really looked into it because I have no reason. I don't like PayPal. I have no reason to use it, and I don't want to buy any. But apparently, it was a method that some people used to acquire Bitcoin indirectly through Doge.
Sure.
So.
I
know what you're talking about, actually. It's a website, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can mention it on here or not.
I'm not going to mention it because I don't want to contribute to it getting shut down.
Well, they're really strict, actually. I used them for a while before, like, you know, Circle and stuff like that came around.
Well, see, you use them, such as the pervasiveness, yeah.
Yeah, I use them for a long time. Like, they'll give you like I think it's like a $2 or $5 limit if you're not registered or whatever, so they don't take any losses. But I think I have like an unlimited with them, and they're really great, actually. But you know, you're gonna pay more to buy with PayPal, so it's better just to buy through, like, you know, Circle or something like that, or go through an exchange.
Well, then, what do you think? What do you think about this delightful surge in Bitcoin? Ideally, my understanding is the more stability it has, the better. And so, giant fluctuations are not a good thing. But as far as I'm understanding, when people are talking about currencies around the world, you know, like the dollar had a 9%, the US dollar had a 9% increase in value or something last year, and Bitcoin had something closer to 40% increase in value. So it's actually like the fastest growing I don't know a good way to put that, but you understand what I mean. Like, here's something that's growing in value. It's about to have, it's expected to have this year.
That's not going to significantly increase the price.
I agree with that. Yeah,
but
then again, you know, speculation. Yeah, everyone speculates.
Yeah, the speculation might affect the price before it, but after the event,
sure,
it won't be. But yeah, it's a sign of progress, though. Do you think?
Yeah,
altcoin trader, I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask. Do you think that some of these altcoins are going to see usage as sort of like what I alluded to with the Doge and the PayPal thing? Do you think that people are going to start using altcoins as a way to acquire Bitcoin more easily?
I could see it happening. There's already, they're not really coins, but there's already, like, you know, you could trade them on the markets for things like USD Tether and things like that, where you could actually purchase those.
Okay.
OKPay, stuff like that. It's actually, you know, they're on a lot of the major exchanges.
See, that's one thing I haven't been following is different like the different kind of like fringe ways to acquire Bitcoin with money, because it seems to be a really hard problem for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I'm always looking for things to be able to tell people when they ask. So,
yeah,
your recommendation.
Honestly, the best.
Let's say we can't use one of the common places like Circle or Coinbase, which would be, of course, the first recommendation for most people who are looking to acquire coin is a place like Circle. But let's say you couldn't use a common exchange like that. Where would you go from there?
Well, that's the thing with Bitcoin right now too. It is difficult to acquire by, you know, other means. There's always local Bitcoins. We have to meet up with someone or, you know, they'll transfer your money to their bank account or whatever. It's always kind of sketchy.
Yeah, I mean, unless you can do business with someone who has like hundreds and hundreds of perfect transactions, it is really a sketchy place. I agree with that. I would not trust someone without rep there.
Right.
Yeah, and depending on where you are, you know, you're gonna pay a premium for it too, usually. Mm-hmm. So honestly, there isn't a whole lot of ways to get around it. There's like weird ways where you can go to like Verwox or whatever, and you could purchase what is it? For that game Second Life, you know, that weird game where you like have a second life or whatever.
Oh my god, Linden Dollars. I did that. Yeah. I did that very beginning to like do some kind of like circle, like, cause you can buy Linden Dollars with your credit card and it becomes like, and then you just do sort of an instant trade.
I don't know what kind of markup there is on that though. Like,
oh my god, it's ridiculous.
When things have stupid markup, I don't mention them. Like, I know for a fact that you can.
Yeah.
It's really easy to acquire currency in a lot of these big MMORPG games. If like RuneScape Gold is really easy to purchase, and there's traders out the ass with trusted reputations who will convert those kinds of currencies into Bitcoin for you. But you're going to pay a healthy markup for it, so it's
sure.
It just feels so unprofessional. Like, I don't want to recommend someone to.
No,
like that.
Yeah.
So I just thought maybe you as an altcoin trader knew of a method other than the common exchanges, the uncommon exchanges, and local Bitcoins, because that's all that I ever recommend to anybody these days.
Glitch, are you suggesting to me that I could take my Guild Wars Platinum that I've accumulated actually trade it for Bitcoin?
If you have a character that you developed on some game that you ain't played in 5 years, you could probably convert that into chips in a roundabout ass way is exactly what I'm saying.
tragically, I'm sort of attached to my character and she has amazing, really expensive outfits and... So I'm not gonna sell my character.
Okay, you'd have to be really down on your luck to sell your character, man. That's
I know.
But if it has no value to you, yeah, you probably can convert it. It's strange.
That's why I would never sell my SWC account. Spite check is priceless. Come on.
Yeah, for sure. It's a famous name, I guess.
And it used to have an avatar.
I do have an avatar, goddammit. I earned two of those things. Someday.
Is that something from the old site or what?
Yeah, Candace let us know about that. It used to be that certain people got avatars as special rewards for things, and they used to run certain tournaments where the winner would receive an avatar. As soon as I have the ability to bestow custom avatars on people, I'm going to restore some of the people that I remember had the custom ones, and I'm going to add more custom ones and add opportunities to win them.
Nice. I think that is awesome incentive. I loved having an avatar. It made me feel special. It made me feel like a special snowflake.
Would it be possible to have a goatsy avatar?
Oh, no. See, this is why we're not going to ever have user uploaded avatars.
Yeah,
because
no.
I'd have to screen each one of them, or they'd stick me on the task because you know that they know that every other picture is going to be genitalia.
It would totally tilt people while you're playing with them. They'd be like, what is that? Oh god. They're like, you know.
It's just like a combination of flesh that no one should be seeing and just like sticky buds. And then like cats. It's just be all the avatars at the table.
Yeah, well, all cats. Oh Jesus.
That sounds great.
I think I've seen enough seals with chubs to last me a lifetime.
I've seen more than enough seals with chubs to last me a lifetime. What has been seen cannot be unseen. And was not even seen intentionally. But those are the perils of clicking links.
Yeah,
that's why I usually don't click links in the chat box.
Risky click. It's always a risky click.
These days, an ad blocker is just as important as an antivirus, in my opinion. So it's good that you have one of those. That's the first line of defense with web browsing.
I think it's more, to be honest. Like, I haven't ran an antivirus in years and years. I'm using mostly Mac nowadays.
I was gonna say you must be on a Mac.
Well, yeah, but no, I have PCs effect. And like, yeah, but no, Macs can still get viruses though.
People, there are Mac like, viruses, but if you've seen them, most of them are like incredibly easy to disarm.
Yeah, definitely. I know it's a solid OS. I honestly can't go back to Windows. But
I can't tell you how happy I was to discover that I could just remote into my PC laptop and use my Mac, which I love, which has, you know, a giant screen, and I can use my little pen tablet that I love when I play OFC and not have to double click all the time. And it's been so great. It when I first got back on SWC, I was like, oh my God, I hate using my PC. This is terrible.
I don't know why some people just hate Apple for some reason. I don't understand it. It's weird.
This conversation proved that you're not an Apple fanboy. You're just an Apple product user.
I am. I use PCs too. I use Linux, whatever, you know. I have Windows on all of my Mac machines.
That's the one night everyone was railing on you for being an Apple fanboy for some reason.
yeah, I know. And someone who will not be named had followed me around and was like harassing me for like the longest time. He was so mad about it. I don't know what his problem was. It's crazy.
Someone who will not be named was having a pedantic argument with me about 4K displays because he didn't understand what I meant, but we won't talk about him, and he's not present, is he?
Hey, you have to own one to love it, you know?
Well, here's the thing, though, too. I mean, I've been an Apple user pretty much since I've been a computer user. I mean, besides the fact that, like, when I was a teenager, my dad worked for HP and, like, would occasionally hand me down these giant, like, he'd hand me down these giant clunky computer things that were like five different pieces and all kind of like went ka-chunk together, you know? Like, oh, and here's the printer that goes with that. And he hands me a box and it's like 50 pounds, you know? I've been an Apple user since like the Apple II. So, I was definitely an Apple fan. And a lot of my beginning career was as a graphic designer. And so Apple was just what everyone used in my field of work. Mm-hmm. But now I think Apple is the new Microsoft. I really do. And they've turned into all the stuff that Apple users used to be able to be really high and mighty about, making fun of PC users. Mm-hmm. All those things that people used to say that were bad, Apple is now doing. And, you know, I mean, come on, like, it's like people get really upset about, you know, being forced to upgrade to Windows 10, and, you know, people rail on Microsoft, whatever. And Apple is pulling the same kind of shit. They're intentionally making their old iPhones run super slow and totally in the doghouse so that people will buy the new iPhone. That's old school shenanigans that used to be Microsoft.
What Microsoft is doing these days is tame by comparison. Apple,
they
want their product life cycles to be like a year or two on a laptop and a tablet and half a year on a phone. It's
gross. It's just disgusting.
That's the unfortunate money-grubbing corporate aspect of it. But
I know, and I have no brand loyalty anymore just because of that.
Yeah, I look for companies that put out a quality product in my price range. And
that's
one thing that Apple is good at, is putting out quality products. They're not in everybody's price range. There's not a lot of shitty Apple products anymore, though, other than that watch.
Well, hey, the watch is one thing. I actually have a Samsung. I don't use Apple mobile stuff. I'm not really a huge fan of the iPhone. I use like a Samsung. Mm-hmm. And I have the Samsung watch. So it's pretty cool, actually. You could like talk on it and stuff. It's kind of a novelty, but it's pretty sweet. But I don't really like their phones. You know, I like the whole Android, you know, because it's based off of Linux and fun stuff you could do with it.
Oh, I cannot tell you how happy I am with my Moto X. I love Android. If I could do everything I needed to do in Android, and I could do it on my phone and on an Android like tablet or mm-hmm. or laptop, I am totally down. I love the amount of things that are available. You know, I love the amount of development that's happening in that space.
That's something that people need to start realizing too, that Google does not put out crap products.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm a big fan of Android too. And obviously we are developing the Android client.
Yeah, can't wait for that.
That'll be sweet. I could actually play on my phone, what?
I'll be like driving and playing tournaments.
I've actually been in chat when people like before the news site when there was an Android client, I would actually be in chat and someone would be like, hold on a second, I need to pull over. And I'm like, are you serious? And they were literally like stuck in traffic playing a tournament on their phone, you know?
That's great.
Whoa.
No, that's addiction.
That's not great. That's not smart.
That's reckless driving.
Yeah.
Well, when you're driving, but I mean, if you're somewhere where it's like boring and you're sitting around, like so many times where I'm just like staring at my phone, there's like, you know, nothing to do. And I'm like trying to find something interesting, you know, because I've been on the internet for like, you know, hours a day for like forever, you know, and it's like so many things I've already seen, like, you know, it gets kind of boring after a while. I feel like I've seen the whole internet, but poker is always interesting. There's always something new when you're playing, you know, learning and playing against new people.
We're developing an Android client. We're not trying to contribute to the 30,000 motor deaths a year or whatever.
No. I was joking about using it while driving.
Really soon, we're going to have self-driving cars, and we can play poker on our Android devices while our Google car is driving us from point A to point B. It'll be great.
That is all kinds of amazing.
I know. Welcome to the future, baby.
And Google runs everything in the future.
Pretty much. I could see that happening for sure. Oh, they have so many different services and stuff like that. Yeah. Google's awesome.
Oh,
some people are scared of me. They're like, oh, they're stealing my data and stuff like that. But it's like they offer so much stuff for free. It's like, I don't even care. They could have my data.
That's a slippery slope to think. My opinion on Google is that they're not without evil, but they seem to have the approach of be less evil than other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in a world where realistically to get shit done, you need to choose amongst several evils.
Well, I for one welcome our Google overlords.
Right?
and you know, if I can get some free fiber internet in my house, that'd be great too. And I know they're doing that in some cities, so
I have a bunch of people hit me up after this show and tell me why I'm wrong.
No, but I wish I could remember the name of it, but I was just reading this morning, you know, I do my kind of tech morning, like tech and science morning with my coffee, and learn about like new stuff that's going on in the world. And Google has just launched a new project where it's like, okay, they have yet another division that they've launched. And I'm like, okay, first of all, they're launching new divisions all the time. This is very cool. But they're launching a new division that's like taking smartphones, and you're able to like map things in your world in 3D. And I'm like, Microsoft isn't doing that. Nobody's doing that. You know, like NASA isn't doing that. God damn it. You know, they've got like entire divisions devoted to.
Yeah, Google just has a branch for insane shit.
Yeah, Google X, right? Google X projects. They're like, it's their whole, like, if you work in the Google X division, you're going for those moonshots. You know, you're going for those amazing projects that are gonna just make the whole, that are just gonna change the whole tide of something. That's fucking exciting. That's rad.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Anyway, a
lot of cool stuff in the works. Can't wait. You know, it's technology is coming along a lot. Like every year we have like crazy stuff like that. I mean, just phones in general. Like, could do stuff that I never imagined a phone would, you know, a smartphone. It's like more powerful, like a million times more powerful, more features than the computers I had when I was a kid.
And that was, of course.
That was not too long ago, really. I mean, I'm not very old, so.
How old are you, Catmaster?
I'm 27.
27. Oh my God, you're a baby.
By the way.
You don't even know.
I kind of figured when you talk about the Apple II and stuff, I was like, oh, wow.
Oh, those things. Yeah, I've seen those in museums.
Yeah, right?
So what made you choose the name Catmaster?
You know, to be honest, I don't remember. I was just...
Are you a cat owner?
I have one cat. One cat, okay. Yes.
And are you the master?
Would you say you're the master?
Are you the master of your domain?
Yeah.
Is that what you were going to say, Glitch? Sorry.
No.
More than other people, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Cats always like me too. Like I have friends with cats that are like scared. You know, like the kind of cat where you walk into the house, they like runs into the bed and never see it like ever. and I'll usually be able to like coax them out and pet them and stuff like that. And I don't know, cats always really like me, so I guess maybe that's why I named myself that. I don't know. It's like, you know, a few months ago, so it's hard to remember.
Do you understand the reference of, are you the master of your domain, though?
What do you mean? Of course, I'm the master of my domain. Or is there like something that I, no. I don't know?
Okay, you don't get the reference.
I guess not.
Okay, so for all of you 27-year-olds out there, no, it's actually a Seinfeld reference. So I don't know if you were ever a Seinfeld fan.
Yeah, I watched tons of Seinfeld.
Okay, one of the most epic episodes ever was called "Master of Your Domain." And basically the idea was all the guys are talking, you know, one day and like there's some, you know, they're alluding to taking care of themselves. And they actually take a bet who can go the longest without jacking off. And the idea is I can last the longest. I'm the master of my domain. Right. So if you hear someone talking about like, I'm the master of my domain, that's a Seinfeld reference, and they're talking about like I don't have to jack off until I, you know. And what was especially funny about that particular episode was while they're having the conversation about being the master of their domain, fucking who's the tall crazy guy?
Kramer.
Kramer like leaves the room and comes back in like 15 seconds. He's like, I'm out. And he slaps his money on the table.
You know, I actually remember that scene. I've seen that episode. It's just, you know, it's been a long time and I've watched them on TV when they're still on TV, you know, but that, yeah, that's great.
I love that they haven't even finished the conversation yet. He walks out and he comes back 15 seconds later. And he's like, I'm out. And he slams his money on the table. It's so brilliant.
Yeah. Anyway. Kramer is definitely my favorite character. He's like my hero. I love his clothes. He's got like the best, you know, the best style and everything. He's definitely a great character.
Oh, those crazy like sweater vest things. You know, who doesn't love a good sweater vest? Come on.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm a sucker for strange fashion choices. I'm a sucker for glasses. I like I like it when men wear interesting socks. I feel like it's a nice touch. Like, you know, like it is. It's an attention to detail thing, and it's like nobody is going to notice that a guy is wearing interesting or creative socks unless he's sitting down, you know, like it's very rarely going to even show if a guy is wearing good socks. So if a guy is wearing good socks, it's like, okay, there's a level of attention to detail where you're like, once I get that guy naked, that's great, you know?
Do you request that he keeps his socks on?
No, I don't have a thing about socks during sex at all. Like,
do people not take their shoes off when they enter your house? Like, I think that would be a common thing to see someone's socks.
But I'm just saying it's one of those things that chicks notice. It's like chicks notice whether a guy has good shoes on, or chicks notice like little details. And those little tiny details are things that make a chick go, oh, he thought about putting on that fancy pair of socks.
Confirmed.
That means he thinks about other things, you know?
And will only notice you if you buy certain socks and certain nice shoes.
No, what I mean is,
it's the fast track to getting laid.
No, I'm giving exactly you some really valuable advice right now. Yeah, what about, I'm saying yeah, is,
it's I just translated it for men.
Okay. I've actually,
but it's
I've
not actually, it's not just expensive shoes. That expensive isn't a thing. It's
you didn't say expensive, whether you said a guy really nice.
It's whether a guy took the time to care about whether his like socks match the rest of what he was wearing or something. Like, it's a level of attention to detail that chicks notice, and it makes them extrapolate that into other areas of his life. Like, oh, because he cares about little details, he'll like put the toilet seat down, or he'll, you know, not leave the cap off the toothpaste, or, you know, like whatever.
Well, whatever he makes extrapolate. You'll notice all the little details I care about if you bogart the joint.
Right.
Oh, I promise not to bogart your joint, Glitch.
Who I does promise. That anyways, though?
Better not get any saliva on it either.
Oh gosh.
Oh.
That's the worst.
Like seriously.
Party files.
What the fuck is the deal with someone grabbing the joint and the first thing they do is they spit on their finger and they roll their finger around the end of the joint? That's so creepy to me.
Does that happen? Oh, is that a thing?
I've never seen.
What is it? What the hell are you?
I don't want to watch someone spit on their finger and then like rub it on anything I'm going to be touching.
I find Come it really on. Grosser. You guys
get one of those. Unless we're getting down and dirty, like don't be spitting on your finger. Come on. People.
They have those old-fashioned like cigarette things that like fancy rich women used to use, you know, with like the diamonds and stuff. It's like a cigarette extension.
The cigarette
holder. Yeah, cigarette holder.
Yeah. Yeah. You always get one of those.
My cigarette holder is the Hunter S. Thompson style one, the Targa.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, but like a nice long one with some fancy decorations.
My cigarette cool, holder actually. Is my right hand. It's pretty fancy, though.
Does it have diamonds on it?
No, it doesn't have diamonds. I'm not a fan of diamonds.
Well, actually, I didn't really mean that, I guess. Oh. I guess it sounds like I was asking about a ring. Because I meant, you know, whatever.
Okay, we'll just let that go.
So
she prefers the diamonds on the soles of her shoes.
Yeah, something like that.
What does that mean?
How many song references can I cram into this show?
He's not going to get it. He's 27.
I know.
Well, I've listened to music that was made before I was born.
I'm just
it's not like it expires.
I'm just fucking with you. Yeah. That's a Paul Simon reference.
That's one I haven't heard of ever.
Oh, you haven't God. Heard of Paul Simon? Okay, come on. Paul Simon is half of the duo Simon and Garfunkel.
Hmm. Yeah, never listened.
I'm not
to
trying. Him. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just like what? Okay,
I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you, you're uncultured.
Yeah. No,
Simon's been making music for like 40, 50 years, and he still makes it. And it still plays on the radio.
What did your parents listen to when you were growing up? Like when you were young and you didn't get to pick the music. What were your parents listening to? Let me guess.
They listen to opera music.
No. My parents are actually like relatively young. They're like 40 something. 47, I guess now.
Gotcha.
Because they had me when they were 20. So they were listening to stuff that was, you know, at the time, you know, like kind of rock music, like, I guess like Nirvana and, you know, that kind of stuff, Metallica, things that were on during that time.
Gotcha.
So I guess it's kind of classic now. but yeah, it was that kind of stuff. And then nowadays I just listen to a whole bunch of random things. The more obscure it gets, the better. I really like that Whale stuff we were listening to the other day. I actually listened to that. I listened to it again earlier. It's pretty sweet. Probably my new genre, favorite genre.
I didn't even listen to the whole thing. It was.
I want to know about this. I want to know about this Whale step. What is that?
Someone said in chat that his friend had made a song entirely out of whale noises and called it Whale Step. And there happen to be a few dubstep tracks that people have made that include whale noises that are called Whale Step. Unfortunately, I linked a couple of them, and none of them were the actual one made by this dude's friend. This dude's friend one apparently didn't even have drums or anything else in it, but we did end up finding some interesting dubstep tracks that contain whale noises.
The first one you posted was awesome. That's my favorite one. It's like, you know, the whale is like the instrument for the beat, or it's like one of the instruments, the whale noises. Yeah. So.
Interesting. Okay. Well, you're gonna have to put that on the little ticker that's playing on the Fish Fry radio show.
You should definitely put it on the Fish Fry. There's a lot of stuff that goes into this, I'm sure, on the radio show. I mean, it seems pretty complicated as soon as I came in here. All this little room and stuff, I have to like knock to get in. But I mean, you do a lot of work per week to make it happen every week, or?
I make a lot of notes. Because I didn't know who was going to be on this week because everyone has been so busy. Like, yeah, I don't know. I'm a control freak, so I try to be as prepared as I possibly can be. I didn't even get to the actual subject that I was going to talk to you about. I think I want to save this particular question because I actually feel like we've had a really lovely discussion. Catmaster, I really appreciate you coming in. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on here. I mean, It's kind of an honor. I don't know if that's cliche to say. But, you know.
I mean, thanks for joining us.
So, now we are officially in late registration. If you haven't signed up yet, sign up for the Fish Fry Tournament. Of course, any of the SealsClubhouse.com members that are in the tournament have bounties on their heads. So if you see any of us, 5 chips coming to you if you knock us out. And all of those bounties will be paid when the tournament is done. See you in the Fish Fry.